This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings this morning. Welcome to our lesson today. Again, if you'd like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. There's a number of things on the website that would be of interest to you. My weekly meditation is there, and you can re-listen to this program there. And if you would like to contact me with comments about the program or prayer requests, or if you would like to be placed on the free subscription list for Grace and Truth, the monthly magazine that I publish in from time to time, you'll need to contact me so that I can send your name and address on to them. So if you would like my mailing address or website address, get a pencil and a piece of paper out, and I'll give you that at the close of the program. Now, we've been looking at Luke chapter 6, and we've been going through the story of the life of Christ. And in Luke 6, we've been dealing with the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament and its application to us today. But today, I want to break away from that for 2 weeks, because when this program airs, it will air on a day that we call April Fool's Day. And I think it's only appropriate that we recognize the truth of the fact that there are fools in this life, in this world, and we don't want to be one of them. And so I'd like to deal a little with April Fool's Day. And then we're also going to have this program airing on Easter Sunday. And I think it would be appropriate for us to have a program dealing with the resurrection of Christ. So for 2 weeks, we'll not be dealing with Luke chapter 6, but we'll come back to it as soon as these 2 weeks have and the festivities associated with them have passed. Now today, I want to think a little about April Fool's Day. I did a little research on why it's called April Fool's Day, and I went to that venerable online encyclopedia, which I know is always accurate, and I say that tongue-in-cheek, Wikipedia. And it says this about April Fool's Day. It's celebrated in different countries around the world on April 1st every year, sometimes referred to as All Fools' Day. April 1 is not a national holiday, but is widely recognized and celebrated as a day when many people play all kinds of jokes and foolishness. The day is marked by the commission of good-humored or otherwise funny jokes, hoaxes, and other practical jokes of varying sophistication on friends, family members, teachers, neighbors, work associations, etc. So on April Fool's Day, you can't believe anything anybody says to you. You have to be very careful, because you're probably going to get embarrassed. Now, the question I have is, were there fools in the Bible? And of course, the truth is that there are fools in the Bible. As a matter of fact, there's a distinction between a wise man and a fool in Matthew 7, verses 24 and 29. We often distinguish between the wise man and the foolish man in a song we sing with the children. We sing, "The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And the rain came tumbling down. The foolish man built his house on the sand. The foolish man built his house on the sand. The foolish man built his house on the sand, and the rains came tumbling down." And of course, the wise man's house stood. It was built on a rock, and the foolish man's house fell because it was built on sand. And so the lesson of the little chorus is, so build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the rock. He's the one that is dependable. He's the one that can save. And so the question is, are we foolish or are we wise? When I was thinking about this, I was thinking about a verse in Psalm 14 and verse 1. David says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good." And of course, some of that verse is quoted in Romans chapter 3, where we find out that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it is true that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. It's interesting that our relationship with God is a heart matter, and our worship emanates or is developed or is a reflection of what our hearts really believe. And there are people who are outwardly righteous, who still have not in their hearts ever really believed in the Christ that died and was buried and was raised again on the third day. Some of these people will go to church on Christmas and they'll go to church on Easter and they will try to be Christian-like, but they really have never themselves embraced the truth that Christ is real and that God manifested himself through Christ, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the way we know God, and that the Lord Jesus Christ is the way to God, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way to be saved from sinners. Now, of course, in Psalm 14, we're dealing with the psalmist writing before Christ had come. This is a psalm of David, and in Acts 2, we find out that David was a prophet, and he seemed to understand that Christ would come. He seemed to have a pretty clear understanding of why Christ would come, and that he would be raised from the dead. In the 16th psalm, he says, "Thou wilt not leave his soul in hell, neither will he allow his Holy One to see corruption." And David was a prophet, according to what Peter says in Acts chapter 2, and he understood these things. And I think many of the Old Testament people understood these things, and they understood that their celebrations and their holy days and their sacrifices were teaching them about a coming Messiah who would die for their sins, because without the shedding of blood in the Old Testament, there was no forgiveness, and without the shedding of blood, the blood of the Lord Jesus in the New Testament, there is no forgiveness. But so David, when he writes, he says, "The fool has said in his heart," it's a heart matter, "there is no God." Now, I believe that anyone who gets up in the morning and sees the sunrise and the beauty of an early morning sunrise, or stays up late at night and looks at the stars and sees the beauty and the order of the stars, and perhaps even sees the northern lights, which some people have been able to see rather spectacularly over this last few weeks because of the solar flares that have occurred, the solar storms that have occurred on the sun. Even as you see this beauty and this order, there are many people who would like to believe that it just happened. And of course, we aren't going to get into the arguments as to what a creationist believes and the argument as to what an evolutionist believes. But frankly, if you believe in evolution, in the sense that things happen by chance, then you fall into the category of Psalm 14, the fool that has said in his heart, "There is no God." As I think of Scripture, I think that God has given us creation. He's given us a conscience. Romans tells us that. And he's given us his word. Now, you might not at first believe his word, but you should believe in creation. You should believe in your conscience. You should understand that there's an innate desire in you to do wrong, and it takes some discipline to do right, particularly in some situations. I realize that we can do right in a lot of situations without really working at it, but when we are tempted with moral evil, it's pretty hard sometimes to overcome the influence of friends and our lustful appetites and the opportunities that are around us. And so when we look at our own consciences, we know that there is evil within us, not only evil in the world, but there's evil within us. And then we have to ask ourselves, why is it that the news is filled with difficulties, mayhem, slaughter, and murder, and all of these things, rather than being filled with goodness, being filled with peace, being filled with the good things people do? And part of that is because we're interested in that which is evil. We're not so interested in that which is good, because there is a lot of good done in the world, but we don't generally publish that. We're more interested in people who have made grave mistakes. And we do listen, and there's wars, and there's rumors of wars, and there's problems. And so we see this in the world. So God has given us a conscience, and we should ask ourselves, why is it that there is such a tendency in the world to do wrong? And God has given us creation, and he's shown us, why is it that this whole world is so beautifully put together and so intricately designed, and that the human body and the earth as a system, why is it that that fits together so well? And it's because he wants to draw our hearts out to him and have us understand that there is a God in heaven. And then if we finally understand that, we want to know him. And the only way really to know him in an intimate way is to believe what he has written. And he has written the Bible. Recently, I was talking to a young person and I asked him, why should we believe the Bible? And of course, that's a good question, and I don't spend a lot of time on it, because I believe that if you read the Bible, pretty soon you'll find that it speaks for itself and you'll believe it. But I told this young person, when you read the Bible, it says, "And God said," and you have to decide, did he or didn't he say this? In the New Testament, it'd be "the Lord Jesus said," or in the New Testament, it would be "all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction of righteousness, for correction." Now, either God said it or he didn't. And if you really, through creation and through your conscience, realize you need to know the God who made you and made the universe, then you come to the Word of God and you find out that here's a God who knows our failures, he knows our sin, and he knows what we need. And what we need is to have our sins forgiven, we need to have our consciences purged, we need to have a new life in Christ, and he's provided that in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the fool who turns his back upon that, because very simply, if the Bible is right, and it is, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're saved not just for time, but for eternity. And if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a fool, because in your self-will, you're going to be condemned for eternity. And this life is not all there is. You might want to believe that, but the Bible says there's more to our existence than what we see. And while a person who dies without Christ can't really be said of them that they're living, they are existing. And God makes it clear that we either exist away from God in a place of torment because we have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, or we exist with the Lord for eternity in heaven. Why would we be so foolish and so self-willed as to turn our back on such love? A God who not only made us, allowed us to be marred by sin, but wants to recreate us in Christ. Friend, today, this is April Fool's Day, but I'm not telling you a joke. I'm not giving you a hoax. Christ is not somebody who plays jokes. You can depend on what he says, and I hope that today you are depending upon him. That would make you the wise man who has built his house on the rock. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon all who have listened today and upon the program. We thank thee for the love of the Lord Jesus. We just commit ourselves into your care in our Savior's name. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.